I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with, well, I'll let them introduce themselves. You guys want to introduce yourself?
Timothy Douglas.
Andre DeShields. I am playing Stool Pigeon in Timothy's production of King Henry II.
Now, Timothy, I mean, we all know what the play is about, but for our listeners who may not know, just explain what this play is about.
I'm so bad at this because it's about so many things, but the title character, King Hedley II, is a descendant of Hedley I from August Wilson's Seven Guitars. He is at a crossroads in his life, out of prison for 2 years, trying to turn his life around. Family, spirit, the reality of living in the Hill District of Pittsburgh in the 1980s, which is not kind to black men or the residents in general. And it's his coming to terms with self, and the five other characters surrounding him, all of their self-actualizations come to a head at the play's climax.
You actually worked with August, right?
Yes. He was an extraordinary man, and I started with Iz because his work still is very prominent in leading my life's lessons in creativity, but you know, also in day-to-day life. He was a remarkable storyteller. I had the good fortune of directing the world premiere of the final play, Radial Golf, at Yale Repertory Theater. And during the process, you know, I'd ask him about certain moments in certain scenes, and he would launch into a 30-minute story. And it took me the longest, which were amazing, the stories, but it took me a long time to figure out he was actually answering my question. It was up to me to absorb it, consider it, and then determine for myself what the next best approach was, because I was never going to get a pat, direct answer. And I think he's doing that for all of us through his plays still. I started my association, I guess, as a young acting student at Yale Drama School. When I began my studies, he was just coming onto the scene with Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, which premiered at Yale Rep, and I had the good fortune of understudying on the original production, as well as understudy on the original Turner's Come and Gone. So this has been a long relationship.
All right. Well, let's let Andre get in here a little bit. Andre, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
From The Wiz.
40th anniversary, yes.
Of the play, not the movie.
Of the musical, yes. Is there a movie called The Wiz?
I can never tell when you're kidding.
I'm kidding. I know about the film called The Wiz. But I created the role of The Wiz in the Broadway musical, which opened on Broadway on January 5th, 1975. Wow. I'm going to share a memory, and I'm going to segue into Hedley.
Perfect.
The memory I'm sharing, because this gentleman is no longer with us, is the director and costume designer of The Wiz, Jeffrey Holder, who transitioned on December 5th, 2014. He's one of the few mentors that I've had in this industry where I have performed. The segue is I want to make a shout out to Timothy Douglas, who not only is my director in King Hedley II, but he is my current mentor. Why? Because in 1996, when I was first aware of the August Wilson Manifesto called The Ground on Which I Stand, I took it as a personal challenge. Not only did I grow up in Baltimore, Maryland, in the same kind of conditions that he was describing in Pittsburgh, but Wilson said, quite bluntly, black actors should not be crossing over into multicultural, inclusive, ethnically diverse, non-traditional, and or white theater.
Really?
Really. And I thought the poster boy of non-traditional casting.
Of course.
Right? That was 1996. It wasn't until 2014 that I got an invitation to enter the world of August Wilson through this good man sitting to my left, Timothy Douglas. So now I've been transported back to my informative years in Baltimore in this play called King Hedley II. And what it is a brutal reminder of the relationships that cause us to hurt ourselves, hurt the people that we love, all in an attempt to embrace and grow one another. This is a truly effective way to understand the American society. In order to understand the American society, you have to see it through the prism of colored people, Negroes, black people, African Americans, and how they live in the inner city and with all of the same dreams and loss and romances.
Just anecdotally, I have to complete the mentoring circle because in April of 1975, I attended my very first Broadway production of The Wiz.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And when Andre Shields burst onto that stage, I do believe that was the seed of my lifelong commitment in the theater being planted. And so, you know, have this full circle to receive the honor that that I'm in a mentoring position of a mentor of mine. And in the play, King Hedley is the mentoring figure.
Let's go back into a little more of what you were saying about. So you grew up in Baltimore, but you find things within this Pittsburgh based that you can grab onto. What similarity? I know they're different towns, but
they are geographically different in terms of the energy and the life force. People are mirror images of one another. Urban renewal came through and destroyed whatever cultural spine that Baltimore had.
Right.
And then the ghetto, the slums, if you will, became a third world country. So there was crime, drugs, there was desperation. There was a kind of brutal interaction when your life is pulled and you continue to live with no roots, that affects you physically, emotionally, intellectually. It causes you to resent the very people from whom you used to go for love because you can't get to the oppressor. So when you strike out, you are striking the person closest to you. That is not unique to Pittsburgh. It's not unique to Baltimore. It's all of the mid-Atlantic cities. We had a conversation in the car over here. When I was growing up in Baltimore, Washington, D.C. was called Chocolate City, Vanilla Suburbs. Now, it's flip-flop, and the people experience it most at the level which is closest to having nothing are the people we call African-Americans, which is why I reiterate, if you want to know American history, see it through the eyes of a black American.
And Tim, talk a little bit about why theater, why art? Can it expose that to a wider audience? You might come to Arena Stage and the cookie gets mixed up and everybody's experiencing it together, you know? So explain how art, how theater, why it's important to get people to see other perspectives.
Mm-hmm. We are, at our core, vibrational beings, no matter what our human background and given circumstances are, and the theater is the place, the arena, where we come to resonate with one another. One of my favorite images that I offer actors often is of the tuning fork, that if I strike a tuning fork, if there's a stringed instrument anywhere in its vicinity, it'll start vibrating and playing the exact same note. And I think that's how we are wired as well. And so no matter where we're coming from to the arena of theater, if the company of actors are vibrating accurately or harmoniously or authentically, it cannot be resisted in the way that truth cannot be resisted once one is exposed to. You can fight, you can try, but you know, everything pulls to the center of that vibration, and that combined with Andre's brilliant, insightful thesis about American history most accurately told through the lens of African Americans, it's quite explosive. August was I'll call him perfect channel for aligning a very specific, personally relevant cultural story to what he's often referred to as being universal. Mm-hmm. But he is being quite specific. And it's in that arena of humans coming together to vibrate with and upon one another that creates that universality and, dare I say, hope.
future. You're allowed to say hope. Absolutely.
Can I get a piece of that?
Absolutely.
It's been my experience that there are only two cathedrals of communication. One is called the church or temple, and the other is called the theater. There's no other example of strangers coming together in a dark environment for purposes of worship, communication, communion. And in many situations, you leave either the church or the theater knowing your neighbor, who was a stranger at the beginning of the experience, in a much deeper way than you did. We go to both of these cathedrals. Now, we don't articulate it this way any longer, but the reason we go to these cathedrals is to have a question answered, to have a problem solved, to have a crisis resolved, to have a burden lifted, to have a yoke broken. That's why we go. We call it entertainment now. Right. But if you do a deep investigation into the word entertainment, it has Indo-European beginnings. Part of it means to hold. That's the second part. Mm-hmm. And the first part means to change. So we performers have the responsibility of holding your attention until we have changed your consciousness. That's exactly what August Wilson is doing in all the pieces of his canon, but particularly, I believe, in King Hedley II, because it is, I think, the most contemporary, the most modern of all of his pieces, including Radio Golf. Mm-hmm. It takes place in the 80s. Radio Golf takes place in the 90s. Mm-hmm. But in terms of how the American culture pivots, mm-hmm. it was the decade of the 80s that things came crashing, mm-hmm. imploding, and then exploding again.
Boy, there's so many things I want to add. Just to go one step deeper, I love your thesis, Andre, and both theater and you know, the attendants of the church share their roots. I'm sorry, I don't remember if it's Latin or Greek, of thea. And the third one that it's shared with is therapy. You know, another place where we go to an altar, if you will, you know, to confront ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in theater and the church, it's with a community, but therapy, it's the self. And not only is it to have questions answered, but for me, actually, it's more about having answers questioned. Is the most effective function of the theater for me. And that King Hedley, doing it now in D.C., in America, in the age of Obama, it's as if there were secret chambers inside this play, King Hedley II, that couldn't be heard when it was premiered. But now we're listening together. There are lines in the play that seem to speak directly to headlines of the last 6 months.
Do you want to share a couple of those?
Well, the hyper-American awareness of black men being gunned down in the street by white cops, that the lens that has been focused on that so prominently in the last few months. You know, August was predicting that it would get to this level. He was already seeing it, obviously, but it keeps resonating out in a way that you drop a pebble into still water, and on the surface it just keeps rippling out and rippling out. And the play is so dense in its origins, and these many years later, with this collective consciousness about a very splintered understanding of race in America, the play actually speaks to every one of those splinters and hopefully brings it back to a center to be able to be contemplated, not solved yet, but contemplated.
Stool Pigeon, that's the character I play.
Your character, yeah.
And Timothy had said before that Stool Pigeon represents the spiritual connection in King Hedley. Because of that, you can see Stool Pigeon as a kind of oracle, a kind of Tiresias. Mm-hmm. He quotes from the Bible during the play. one of the quotes he does not use, but because of my research, has resonated for me, is from Ephesians 6:13, I think it is. And I'm going to paraphrase it, but it goes like this. Put on the full armor of God. We are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Now, I think Timothy was alluding to this in his comment just prior. And I know that August Wilson is dealing with this. And the idea is, so much of our lives are spent in mortal combat, when indeed the real battle is about ideas, mm-hmm. about principles, about moral codes,
right.
about what it is you're going to do with this brief episode that you have on the planet Earth. Are you going to use it as your lover? Or
right.
are you going to trash it? Are you going to treat it with respect for seven generations from now? Or are you going to rape it and just use it for your own purposes?
Right.
That, just as Shakespeare did in his plays, that gets reflected on the interior individual. We are drunk now with exterior mm-hmm. happenings. And we have, to the detriment of world culture, we have avoided the inner athlete. Mm-hmm.
I love this idea of sort of the past is prologue type thing. You know, that there is no past, there's no present, no future. That August Wilson is writing lines to this play, somehow putting keys to the future that we can only understand in our current situation, that he couldn't have totally predicted, but that somehow there's like this collective consciousness being wrestled with over time.
Yeah, but what do we say? The teacher doesn't appear until the student is ready.
Right.
And vice versa.
That's true. He was teaching a while ago.
He was teaching.
Now the students are ready.
Yeah, and look at this. I mean, I don't mean to be terribly esoteric about this, but...
Oh, you can't help yourself.
Right.
Go for it.
When his work was done, it's as if he dusted his hands off and say, I'm checking out of here. Yeah. I've done what I came to do. Now, you figure it
you
out.
You guys figure it out. Over decades.
Yeah.
But that was quite literal. I thought he was joking. He and Ben Mordecai, who produced all the first versions of the major productions, they were great, great friends. It came together through the work, and they, you know, the question has come, what are you going to do after all 10 plays are done? And he's like, yeah, we're out. We're checking. Yeah. That's it. And they both died within a few months of each other after the premiere of Radio Gold. Right.
The work was done.
Yeah.
And that is the work. That is the life of all avatars. It's my true. Work is finished. See ya.
Exactly. And how long that resonates is the legacy. If entertainment is to hold and to change, which is what this entertainment page, when you guys click entertainment page, we're going to hold and change you. Like, that's the mission, okay? You're not just getting Kim Kardashian stuff. That's not entertainment, folks.
Yeah, well, may I interrupt you just for a moment?
Yeah,
because,
go ahead.
Because I agree with you, that's the mission. But here's the covenant. Here's the covenant that we make with people who come into the cathedral. The covenant is this. Join us on this journey. Our intention is to change you.
Right.
However, our promise is that we won't harm you.
I like that. But yes, so if it's to hold and to change, how did sitting watching him originally, I guess you said it was in The Wiz,
mm-hmm.
How did he hold you during that performance, and how were you changed walking out?
You know, I can talk about that just looking back. At the time, it was such a complete experience, but... whether it's by design, which I'm going to assume that it is, or just a divine coming together, it was pure. It was truth with a capital T. It was channeling in its purest, most effective form. There was no fat. There was nothing. There was no Andre present that he completely gave himself over to. What the tuning fork with a capital T wanted to message through him to me and all of us there. And I And it's the same great tuning fork that August was writing from. And August is so often compared to Shakespeare. And I am certain that he'll have the same endurance if humans survive. and even if we don't. So it was just such a pure expression. It went directly to my soul, bypassing my intellect completely. I didn't have time to think about the impact of at the time I thought it was the truth of this man, but I realized it was a greater truth moving through him, and that we all have that capacity.
Sure.
And that is another message, either directly delivered or hopefully to be experienced when an audience comes to experience what we've put together.
As it's reversed now, he's almost mentoring you in terms of the performance. How has he held and changed you as an artist, as a human being?
In this industry, most of us think that the most difficult thing to do is to get a gig, to get a job. And it is indeed difficult. However, more difficult than that is changing how the industry perceives you, because we like to put people in niches. Once we discover what it is that you do, you're in that box for the rest of your career, for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. It is a constant game of auditioning, mm-hmm. repackaging yourself, reinventing yourself, cosmetics, etc. Mm-hmm. Timothy came to me and said, "You don't have to audition. You don't have to repackage yourself. I want you to inhabit this character." That was holding me. Now that we're in the process, he is changing me because he is demanding that I lose all the artifices that has made me mm-hmm. a man with a national profile.
Right.
I want you, but I don't want the crap.
I did not use those words.
No, he didn't use the term. He didn't use the term crap, but I want to make this digestible for the people who
sure.
are listening.
Sure.
Right? I want you, essentially, as you were brought into the world, naked. And together we will discover the attire, the dress, the accoutrement that we need to tell this story. Mm-hmm. That in itself is, what's the word? A baptism.
Which brings us back full circle to the theater and the cathedral analogy earlier. Thanks so much for coming out.
Oh, my pleasure.
I loved hearing how you have held and changed each other, how entertainment can hold and change us, and how August is still holding and changing all of us, hopefully for a long time to come. If you WTOP listeners want to be held and changed and experience something powerful, tell them how they can go see it. The logistics, when and where.
Arena Stage, Fitch Handler Space. First preview is February 6th. We officially open on the 12th, and we run through March 8th.
Which, I know Arena Stage has several theaters.
The Fitch Handler Stage is the one in the round.
Oh, I saw Fiddler on the roof.
Yes. Which is another piece that changes people.
Tradition, yeah.
Yeah, especially during this time of geopolitical chaos. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just in case some of you who live in Washington don't know where Arena Stage is, it's 1101 6th Street, Southwest.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, gentlemen.
Oh, thank you.